Hello and welcome back to Small Talk. We've got another great episode ahead as we chat with a pair from John Jay. I'm your host, Katie Mucci. Each week on this show, we highlight the past and present of Division III, with both current and former student athletes joining to talk about their experiences, their favorite on-campus spots, the craziest road trip stories, and more. This week, we're chatting with Malia Gillespie, a current member of the softball team, alongside John Jay Hall of Famer Connie Magnus Melendez. The two talk about some funny stories from the road, the changes around campus over the years, the unique experience at John Jay, and more. Thanks for joining this week. Now it's time for some small talk.
Hi, my name is Connie Magnus Melendez. I was a member of the John Jay College women's softball team. I was the captain of the team from 1980 to 1984, and I'm an alumni now, and I went on with a career with the NYPD, retiring in, I came on in 1985, and I retired in 2005 as a detective sergeant, and I'm happily retired now for 19 years.
Hi, my name is Malia Gillespie, and I am a current member of the John Jay softball team, and I am a current captain of the team.
Well, we have a current and a former captain of the team. So I feel very honored to be with both of you guys. Thank you so much for being here. Excited to chat with you about your experience at John Jay. So the first thing we're going to talk about, and you guys will be a bit unique here compared to some of our other episodes, talking about on campus. Your campus is in the middle of the city. So your on campus is probably very different than those who are kind of in a small college town. But let's hear first from you, Malia. What are some of those spots that you and your teammates hang out around campus, if there are any? What are those kind of places? And then Connie, you can follow up and let me know if anything's changed in the years.
So last year we got our whole third floor renovated. So we have a whole new athletic floor. We have our lockers in there, a fitness center, a bunch of places to hang out and sit. So when we're not in practice, we're not in class, our whole team usually just hangs out on the third floor.
So that wouldn't have been there for you, Connie, but what were...
No.
What were some of the spots for you all?
The campus now is beautiful. I got the opportunity to go there to alumni events, and we got to meet a lot of the new students and all. But when I went to the school as it is now was the building that I said, this should be the school. But we had two separate buildings. It was called North Hall and South Hall. Our old South Hall, which is where our gym was, is now a high school. And where most of our athletes hung out was in the gym. That's the high school now. And, you know, that's where everybody congregated, whether it was the baseball team, the softball team, the basketball team, the swim team, the fencing team. We just had the one gym, and we had our little cardiovascular fitness center. There was a little weight room behind it. And all the athletes, we would just basically, if we weren't there in the gym, we were at North Hall, which was on 59th Street, which is still a building that the school now presently uses. I think they have a few classes there. That was our main building at the time, and that's where the cafeteria was. So a lot of us were always in there. The library was there too. I don't know how much time people spent in there, but it was either the cafeteria or the gym. And that was really where we congregated because there was nowhere really else for us to be. The new facility now is beautiful. I wish we had that then, and I'm glad they have that now.
That's great. And obviously you're in the middle of a big city, so I'm sure there are a lot of favorite local restaurants, coffee shops, things like that to go to. But Connie, maybe I'll have you start. Are there any places and what are some places that you went to?
Well, what they don't have now in the new college, we used to have a bar called the Rathskeller in North Hall. We actually had a little bar in the school itself, and so we could hang out there too. It wasn't conducive to practice or to classes, but you know, they used to serve beer, wine, and pizza there, so that was a good place to hang out. And other than that, I mean, we had Central Park right there, and there were several local bars, and several, you know, Central Park was the greatest place in the world, which was for the softball team. That was a lot of where we played a lot of home games there in Central Park, if not Clinton Field. Because believe it or not, the men's baseball team, they played Clinton Field more than we did. we used to play in Central Park a lot as our home field. So if we weren't at the Rathskeller in North Hall, we could be at Central Park, or we would be at local, there was a bar, a restaurant called the Coliseum, because the Coliseum, which is where the Time Warner Center is now, that was, it was a convention hall called the Coliseum, and right across the street was a bar restaurant called the Coliseum, where we used to congregate as well to talk and have a good time.
Awesome. Malia, anything there sound familiar to you with you and your teammates?
Not at all.
Just Central Park.
Central Park, yes. We have a lot of like local restaurants or little fast food places around the school that we usually go to. But this year they actually redid our entire cafeteria. So we have a bunch of new little food places in the cafeteria. They have pizza, hot dogs, chicken, burgers. So if we're not getting fast food out around the school, we're going to the cafeteria and getting some food or dessert. They have really good brownies.
Always a good draw.
Yeah.
So that is maybe the on-campus life. But let's talk about travel. And we're in D3. You probably don't have to travel too far to get your games in, especially when you're in a conference like the CUNYAC. But I think you still had to travel a little bit. So Connie, we were talking before we started recording a little bit, but what was the travel situation? Like, how were you all traveling? Who was driving? What was the stories there?
Well, we did have a van back then. If the men's baseball team wasn't using it, sometimes we had two vans. If not, we had the coach's station wagon sometimes, or somebody else had a car. And sometimes the coach drove, sometimes whoever had a license, I had a license, one of us drove. If some of the women lived near, like you said, you know, it was the CUNY, especially if, like, say we were playing at Lehman. So if you lived in the Bronx, we'll meet you there. And so people took the train. And if all of us couldn't fit in the van, some people took the train or the bus, and we met, you know, at the school. Like, we played Brooklyn College, and people lived in Brooklyn. They met us at the field. So it was interesting at the very best. You know, I don't remember too many breakdowns. We had a couple of flat tires with that van. But I remember Bob Fletcher, our trainer, he drove a couple of times as well. So it was split up driving. The coach, Bob Fletcher, or one of us would drive the van to get to the games. The Hudson Valley ECAC League that we were in also, that was interesting when we would have to go a little further to play games against like Mount St. Vincent and some other teams in those leagues. Those were always interesting, praying that nothing happened to the van as we got there. So I remember us having to throw some coolant into the radiators a few times, but we all got there in one piece usually.
Is there anybody who you were like, oh, if they're driving, I don't know if I want to be in this car?
I guess one of our coaches, Neil Stepman, his station wagon was suspect at times, but we all got in there pretty well. We put quite a few girls in that station wagon one time when the van wasn't available and the equipment. So, you know, but you did what you had to do. Nobody was stopping us, and seatbelts weren't really a big thing back then. So,
and you all made it through. So that's
we
all that
all
matters.
Made it through, and we're still here talking. So, you know.
Malia, obviously, I bet it's a bit different for you, or maybe it's not, but what's the situation like now for your travel?
Well, we still have the vans. I always joke that the van is older than me, because it is, but we have two vans that we take to each game. We all just file in half and half. Our coach drives one, and then someone from the athletic department drives the other right now. But if it's further, we'll sometimes take a charter bus the further games.
How many miles are on those vans? Have you looked?
Oh, no, but I'm sure it's a lot.
It's your
Hopefully
next
it's not
task.
The van from our time.
Well, last year, no, not last year, my freshman year, we were going to Maryland in one of the vans, and someone's gear got caught on the emergency latch in the trunk, and the trunk flew open on the freeway, and we lost a few bags to the freeway.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we were stuck on the freeway for probably a good hour waiting to get that backpack.
Oh, gosh. Sticking with you, Malia, have you guys gotten in your few years there, gotten to do any maybe farther trips, a spring break trip, something like that, where you've gotten to leave the area?
Yes, last year we took a spring break trip to Florida. We went down for about 5 days to play, I think, six games. And then we also won our CUNYAC division. So we went to West Virginia last year for regionals.
Very cool. Any, when you look back at those couple of trips, any touristy things you and your teammates got to do or anything that stood out to you?
We don't really do many touristy things, but our team loves Walmart. Every time we go somewhere, they let us loose in a Walmart for about half an hour, and we go crazy in Walmart and get all the snacks. And we love Bass Pro Shop. Every time we find a Bass Pro Shop, we're going into Bass Pro Shop.
Okay. Hopefully they'll send you someday to Missouri then. There is, I think it's the country's largest Bass Pro Shop
Really?
in
I
Springfield,
think
Missouri. Yep. Then
many of
that's
my teammates would like
hilarious.
that.
Yeah,
We still
there you
have
go.
hats. They wear the hats everywhere.
I love it. Connie, how about for you? Did you guys have any longer trips that you remember?
No, we didn't. We had a couple of just we it would be they would be day trips where we had like I think it was the ECAC tournament, so it was like a 2 day tournament, but we went back to school the day. We didn't stay over anywhere. I always was pushing for us to go down because the men's team would have a Florida trip, and I always wanted us to do that, but they could never, it was either money or there was no other women's teams doing it, so to play down there. There was not in Division Three anyway, so so that's why I always wanted to go with the guys' team down there. But it was always a thing because I was the one woman, and they were like, oh, yeah. The guys wanted me to go, and there was nothing untoward. It was just the guys wanted me to go. They're like, oh, how would it look? Connie's just going with all the guys. I'm like, I'm just going to go. Yeah, anyway. So, but no, we never went down a spring break trip. No.
You're like, it is just Florida in the middle of winter. That's the only reason I want to go.
The spring break back then is not the spring break of now. So,
Yeah, that's fair. Now let's talk about academics. So obviously John Jay is a unique school, and then it's a very kind of specific track, I would say, with criminal justice. So Connie, you went to the NYPD. What was your major when you were in school?
well, my major was Criminal Justice Administration and Planning, which I don't think it's worded. I don't think they have that major anymore. I mean, obviously have a criminal justice major. I don't know if it's a management major anymore. The reason I took that was I always wanted to be a boss. I was going to be. I always hedged in between being a police officer or an attorney. I originally was going to be an attorney. And I had taken a class where, long story short, a judge was our professor, and we had it was a class in where you watched court proceedings, and I found the process of plea bargaining not to my taste, and I asked the judge when we had our forum, I asked him how he slept at night because I thought plea bargaining was horrible. And they had let somebody go on a rape charge for a plea bargain. And I was like, oh God, no, this is horrible. And I asked him, and he asked, does anybody have questions? And I said, yeah, I have a question. How do you sleep at night? You just let that guy walk. And he looked at me and he laughed and he said, sometimes I don't. He goes, but if it's a reasonable plea bargain, I really can't argue it. I was like, oh, that's bull. And I'm going to find that guy and lock him up. I'm going to become a cop and lock him up. And the judge said to me, well, that might better suit you, Miss Magnus, because I see a lot of criminal contempt in your future. So I became a cop instead of becoming an attorney. And
Sounds like a,
it worked in my favor.
yeah.
And I said, there's nothing wrong with becoming a smart cop. And it took me through a career of being a detective and then a supervisor, becoming a sergeant, and then a detective sergeant. Because I spent 14 of my 20 years in the detective bureau and put a lot of bad guys away, which was very rewarding for me. But having that when that major, I guess you did a little more management class, if you will, and it kind of put you in a place where how to manage things, which what is what teamwork does, how to manage things, how to take charge, being on a team, working with people. So that's what I liked about being on a team all the time. Anyway, so and most of the majors in John Jay, they have police science majors, criminal justice majors, And even in the fire science, they still have the fire science, you know, and forensic science majors at John Jay. If that's the way you want to go, it's still the best school in the country, if not, you know, the world to go to. And I knew that back then. And the way they balance the night and the day, you know, if you're working, even if you're just working and you're not even on the job at working as a police officer already, you know, because your tours change. It was great. I'm not a morning person, and when you play ball, you have to go in the afternoons. So sometimes, you know, I never took a class before 9 o'clock. I'll be honest. I always took second period started at 9:30, I think. I don't know if it still does. So I was always able, if I missed that first class, I could take it later on during the day. So it was great. You know, so it was just great. The classes were geared to what you wanted to do. And people can change their mind too. A lot of people change their mind of what they wanted to do when they went to school. Like I said, I was going to be an attorney, and then I saw that, you know, maybe being a police officer was better suited for me, which is
Great.
not a problem. People could change their
No,
minds.
absolutely. That's what college is for.
Yep.
Malia, how about you? What's your major right now? And what do you, I know this is the question every college student hates, but what do you want to do when you graduate?
So I'm a forensic psychology major, and even though I'm a junior, I still have like 3 more years because I'm doing the BAMA program at our
Ah.
school. And the BAMA program for our school, you're doing your undergrad, but you're also starting your master's early. That way you can graduate with both degrees at a quicker time. So I'm really only in the first year of my master's program, and I still have probably 2 or 3 more years to go. But I'm on the research track for forensic psychology, and I want to go into research psychology. Right now, I'm currently doing a project on the biases that jurors have against child eyewitnesses. So I just like the research aspect behind it, and that's what I'm planning to do once I graduate.
Great.
That's awesome. And Connie, since you have the real world experience after college, do you think obviously like there's criminal justice majors at a lot of schools, but John Jay is very unique and a really, really strong program. Do you think that helped you when you got out into your career, having that education ahead of time?
I do. And they actually had the BAMA program when I went there as well. I do. I think a lot of the professors or adjunct professors and instructors at the school have real life experience. I think they still do, a lot of them.
They
As a
do.
matter of fact, when I retired, I went and taught. I didn't teach at John Jay because I didn't want to travel into the city. But they asked me to. So I think having that level of experience, people who have that life experience in that field, and that's what John Jay offers, a lot of people who work in that field teaching those courses, which helps. It gives a little edge to other schools that just, you know, have just people teaching, you know, anybody can read you the book. Anybody who has a degree can read you the book, and you know, the experience behind it, I think, weighs a little heavier and gives a little more insight to the course itself and helps people, you know, get a little better grasp on what they're you know, what they're looking to explore. I taught forensic psychology when I left the police department. They asked me to teach that class. I taught at Briarcliff College, that was in Long Island at the time. And you know, it's a lot better when you can put practice to what you're teaching. And that's what I told my students when I was teaching them. I go, I'm not here to trick you on a test or anything like that. Better than the book that what I'm teaching you is the experience or what I could tell you about how I put this in real life or what I saw. Like you just mentioned, Malia just mentioned child witness testimony and how valid that is. Well, in my experience, when I've interviewed kids, most of the time they're telling the truth. They don't tell lies. They'll just come out and tell you, oh, this is what happened. You know, people might think, oh, they're going to tell a story about the fairy coming down and flying with their purple wings. That might come out in a story, but then they're going to tell you the truth, you know, that the big guy came in with the big gun and did whatever he did. So most of the time, kids are honest and they tell you the truth, and they're unabashedly honest.
Yes.
So, you know, it and that I only know that from experience and interviewing thousands of kids that unfortunately bad things have happened to. So, you know, having someone who's experienced that go and teach the people who want to learn that and want to investigate that, it gives John Jay gives that edge, I think, to any student who wants to investigate that or learn about that. So I think that's where John Jay gets the edge on all the other schools.
I've had multiple professors that have taught or have done it in the field. I had a professor last year that had to miss class because she got subpoenaed to court for a case that she's still currently working. Or my one master's class, the teacher, she wrote a lot of the books, or she did a lot of the research that we're learning about in her class.
Right.
So we're learning straight from her.
And that's wonderful.
That's really cool. So now we've talked a little bit about your experiences. Now we're going to get to story time. So always one of my favorite parts of the podcast is hearing the funny or crazy stories from your time. So Malia, I'll have you kick us off during your few years there. What is the funniest or crazy but appropriate story that you can share?
Yeah. Well, I already said the one about the back with Maryland trip. We were on the freeway for like 2 hours waiting for that bag. But last year for our spring trip, we took all of our gear on a plane down to Florida, and somehow one of our buckets of balls popped open and one singular ball came out at the end where we get our luggage, and it was on fire. So we still have it. Like, it's completely burnt in a circle around the ball. We don't know what happened to it to get it that way, but it came out like it was burnt.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Connie, how about you?
Nobody went on fire. That was good. Well, let's see. The story where statute of limitations is over. No, none of those are too bad. Geez. Well, a game story. Well, it always had to do with uniforms. Someone, no matter who, never me. Someone always forgot either a pair of pants. How do you forget your pants? Why aren't you wearing your pants? Or a shirt. How come you're not wearing your shirt? Somebody would be wearing their t-shirt or not wearing their pants to the game. And then when we get to the field, I can't find my pants. I can't find my shirt. Why aren't you wearing your whole uniform in the van? Oh, it's not comfortable. And I'm sorry, our uniforms back then were the worst ever. You guys have the greatest uniforms. The material's even different. If you look at past pictures of our uniforms, they're the worst. I mean, I hated them. They're just, the material was horrible. You know, everything pulled. They were ugly. It was terrible. So I understand why some of the girls didn't wear them all the time, but somebody always forgot a shirt, always forgot a pair of pants. And then, so if you look at any photos, somebody's wearing a pair of sweatpants, or somebody's wearing a t-shirt that says John Jay and not the uniform shirt. And one of the coaches always had to plead with the umpire, you know, because sometimes they got iffy about the rules. You got to wear your shirt with the number on it. Sometimes we had to tape a number with like electrical tape or Bob Fletcher had athletic tape. And because somebody would forget their shirt or their pants every time we went to a game. I never did that. So it was just, it was embarrassing. Every time I couldn't pinpoint one person because it happened several times. So, and I used to say, get us new uniforms. Maybe they'll wear them, but that never happened either in my 40s.
I think that was a good, good try and convincing point for them.
Yeah. I was like, they won't
They're
even wear them in the van.
Them.
So
that's funny. So now let's just talk about some favorite memories. So when you look back at your time, whether it was your full 4 years there or your few years that you have down now, Malia, what is just a favorite memory? So something that stands out to you and you hold close, even down the line. Connie, I'll have you start.
My favorite memory is the camaraderie that our team, especially our softball team during those years, had with the men's baseball team. We used to go to all of their games and they used to go to all of our games. We were really close with them. It's because we shared all the space with them too. You know, we shared a lot of space with them. You know, the gym was the gym, and they were very supportive of us, and we were very supportive of them. And you know, to this day, you know, we all talk to each other, and we're all close with each other, and you know, we shared the same training facilities. You know, you're close with guys when you could take the same ice bath with them because we only had one. You know, you're sticking your feet in the same ice bath with them. Today you might not do that, but we did back then. You know, it's like, yeah, let me put my knee in there with you. You know, and that was the camaraderie that we had. You know, not just with each other, but with them. You know, that was the best thing. We took classes together. I think sometimes the guys took class together with us because that's how they passed their classes together with us. But you know, that was my favorite thing. It was the camaraderie that we had with each other. You know, we all wanted to help each other get through, whether it was injuries, the game, classes, family stuff. You know, life happens too when you're going through school. And everybody was there for each other back then. And that was the best part of it.
I think I saw that you went into the Hall of Fame for John Jay the same year as baseball team. Is that correct?
I
What was that
did.
like?
That was absolutely wonderful. The guys, you know, having the guys there, it was like I was with them all the time. You know, Carmelo, you know, he I didn't know when they did the video, he was like, Connie would have been on the team if she was a guy, you know. And it was true, you know, because I was with them all the time, and they were like my brothers. You know, so I was very, very happy that happened at the same time. So, you know,
Very
it was
cool.
wonderful.
Very cool. Malia, what is your favorite memory as you look back at the few years?
From my freshman year, it's definitely beating Hunter for the first time, and I want to say either 15 or 19 years. We got really, really close the first time we played them, and then we finally beat them later on in the season. But last year, it definitely was winning CUNYAC. I don't think that had happened since like 2003. We all celebrated. I think there's a video somewhere. We all were jumping. We mobbed the mound with our pitcher. We were very, very excited about that.
Very cool. And so you got to go to the NCAA tournament, is that correct?
We did in West Virginia. We
What was
went.
that like getting that tournament, getting to go to the tournament?
It was definitely an interesting experience. We went on an 8-hour bus ride to West Virginia. We got patches from the NCAA. We got little lanyards. We got to go to the facility. We played on this really nice field. It was very professional. I felt like I was playing D1. It was really nice. I liked it.
That's awesome. That's great to hear from our end over the NCAA
Yeah.
staff side. Well, thanks for sharing those. Now we're going to kind of start to wrap it up and talk a little bit more about Division III. So the first question I have for both of you is, what does it mean to you to be or to have been a Division III student athlete? And that can mean that you had more time to spend on your academics. It can mean you were involved in clubs, things like that. What does it mean to you to have been a D3 student athlete? And Malia, I'll have you kick it off.
So, I really like that we have the freedom to explore all of our academics. Like, you're a student first. So, our school is very specialized. So, we're exploring so many different opportunities. We do internships, we have the career fairs. So, we have a lot of time outside of sports to explore what we're going to do in the future because obviously, we're not all going to be able to play softball forever. So, D3 allows us to have the opportunity to do those things outside of softball.
Connie, how about you?
The same. It was, you know, more, you know, academically, you know, you could focus on where am I going from here? You know, sports was important, and you know, it was a great outlet too. I was a scholar athlete. I made the dean's list every year. That was important to me as well. My parents were always, you want to play, you gotta do well in school. So, I mean, that's from when I was young. I did the same thing in high school, you know. And you know, it afforded me the time being a Division III to do that. You know, that you had the time to do your studies and you had the time to, you know, with the game schedule and you know, your time to, when you had your games and your practices, you still had time to do focus on your studies and be able to get everything in on your schedule. So that it was easier for us, the schedules and the divisions we were in. So it worked.
All right. And my last question for both of you, we're going to try and pull out the crystal ball a little bit here. We are 50 years down in Division III and many, many more to come. So what do you see, or maybe what do you hope to see for the future of Division III? And then Connie first, Melia after, and then we'll be wrapped up.
Well, I mean, from my time when I started to now, I mean, oh my God, I'm so happy to see the improvements that have come. When I walk into John Jay and I look at the gym, and I mean, when I looked at the gym before they fixed it for Malia, I thought, oh my God, this is fantastic. You know, in my time, they came up with the cardiovascular fitness center, which was a couple of treadmills and a couple of bikes and a weight, some weights, which was, we thought, wow, look how cool this is. And, you know, and then it's evolved into what Malia is experiencing now, and it can only get better. And, I mean, I think, you know, whether you're Division III, Division II, I, I think it all should all be the same for all the student athletes. You know, it just enhances the experience for the students. You know, it makes you a better student. It makes you a better athlete. It you know, keeps you on track to do what you want to do. Helps with injuries, and you know, it just it's a better experience all the way around. For your studies, for your experience playing ball. And I can only hope that, you know, they focus on, you know, the students' experience. And it seems that they're doing that. So I hope they continue forward. You know, that's what you can hope for.
Yeah, I'm really hoping for just like the awareness of D3, because we all know D1 softball, but not a lot of people are like aware kind of D3 sports, or they think D3 sports are worse athletes. I just think like the D1 sports are like, if you go D1, you're great. But if you go D3, like there's just like the stigma around that. And I just want in the future for people to be like, oh, they went and played a college sport. Like that's a really big deal. Not a lot of people do that. Like, but I really like where we're at this point. Like we get a lot of amenities. We get a lot of experiences where we are right now.
I'm going to hire and put you on a billboard, Melia. I love that. great marketing campaign for D3. Well, thank you both so much for joining me today. I had a great time chatting, hearing your stories. Malia, I know you're in season, so wishing you the best of luck the rest of your season, and hopefully another NCAA tournament bid for you guys this year.
Yes.
Thank you.
And Connie, thank you so much for being on here. I appreciate it.
Oh, it was a pleasure. I'm glad to be here. Go Bloodhounds. Woo!
To everyone listening, thanks for tuning into this episode of Small Talk. We post new episodes every week. To follow along with everything Division III, you can find us on social media at NCAAD3 or NCAADIII. Make sure to join the conversation with us all year long by using the hashtag DIII50. Have a great day, and we'll see you for some more Small Talk next week.